Thank you for being here, and thank you for those tuning in online. We're glad to have you joining us today. It's a pleasure to be up here to share with you. And I want to start off with a story where a few weeks ago, I was driving in my car, and I had a couple passengers with me, and they're going to throw up a picture here of a couple of my passengers. That's my baby girl, Amelia, and then the second one is my oldest, who's Chloe. And she's about 2.5 today, actually. It's her half birthday. So she's 2.5 years old and exploring the world, discovering more about it. And so we're driving in the car and we come to a stop sign. And she's very vocal now. She likes to, be heard. And we get to the stop sign and she says, "Go, Dad, go," as I'm stopped there. And I'm looking both ways and there's cars zooming by in both directions. And I say to her, "Chloe, I can't go. There's cars coming because if I go, we'll get hit and we could get hurt and it would ruin the car. It would just be bad for everybody." So she says, "Okay, Dad." And so we get driving a little further and we come to a traffic light. And we're stopped at this traffic light. And again, she says, "Go, Dad, go." So at this point, there's cars going all around me too. And I said, "Chloe, we have to stop here at this light." And I explained how red means stop, green means go, and all that to her. And she's actually become a pro at that now. so we're stopped there, and I explained to her, "We have to stop here so that the cars can have a chance to go where they have to go too, because otherwise they won't get to where they're going." And she says, "Okay, Dad." And then as I drive a little bit further, all of a sudden, this revelation hit me that I am just like Chloe with God. That there's times that I'm like, "God, go, let's get moving. Let's go to this next thing that we want to do. Let's do this next thing, make this happen." And God's saying, "No, I see what you can't see," which thank you, Ingrid, so much for sharing that prophetic word, because that's the gist of this message is that God sees what we don't see. Just as me in the driver's seat and my daughter in the back seat, she can't see all the cars coming. She doesn't understand all that's going on that she doesn't see. And we're the same way. There's things that God's doing, things that are happening in our lives that God is doing, and he's doing for our protection, doing for our safety, doing to give other people an opportunity to get to where they need to go in life. And he's telling us to wait. And that's today's sermon title, actually, is Waiting in a Go World. That's because waiting is something we all experience in life. There's different things you wish would happen quicker, but waiting is such an active part of our lives. Even Jesus, when he walked the earth, his purpose that he came for was to go to the cross, to die for our sins. And yet he lived here for 33.5 years before he went to the cross and fulfilled his purpose, and he was waiting for that purpose to be fulfilled. There's things we go through in our lives that we feel almost stuck. And it's like, "God, let's go, let's go." Like Chloe in the back seat there. And God's saying, "You need to wait for your own safety, for the things that you don't see that I'm doing." And the good news is the Bible has a ton to say about waiting, which is really fantastic because it being such a part of our lives, we need to know about it a little bit. And so God's been speaking to me about it, and I want to share with you, and I believe he's called me to do this today, to share with you some of these principles that he's shown me over the last few weeks and months. And I hope it blesses you. I believe it will. These are principles from God's word. So for those of us who are Jesus followers and call ourselves Christians, this is, to live the life that God's called us to do, these are things we need to do. And if you're not a Christian, you don't call yourself a follower of Jesus, these are still good practical things that could help you with that. So there's something for everybody in this today. So the verse I want to start with is in James chapter 5, starting at verse 7 and 8. So it'll be up on the screens here. You can turn to it if you have your Bibles or your app, whatever you're comfortable with. And this is our main verse for today. And it says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." I love when the Bible gives us word pictures. It makes it so, I'm a picture guy, so it makes it so easy to understand and grasp. And I lived my early childhood life on a farm, and I moved here when I was quite young, but I still spent some summers up there, so I've been exposed to some of the farming life and did a little research on this, and there's basically three steps, if you will, in growing a crop for harvest. And this is cool that God's Word gives us this picture as a farmer waits for the crops to grow. So there's three steps. The first one is preparing the ground, okay? So preparing the soil for the seed to go into it. The second one is planting the seed. And the third one is either fertilizing or irrigating it, you know, adding water to it, depending on what crop it is and how that all of that works. And it, as I dived into this scripture and did some research and really looked into it, I think these three steps apply to our lives so much in this concept of waiting on God. So let's dive into the first one, preparing the soil. What might this look like in our lives? And I believe as I spent some time with the Lord and really looked into this, preparing the soil of our hearts is getting to know God and His Word and His principles, His truths. That's what preparing the soil is. So that could look like a lot of different things. It could spend time reading the Bible. It could be praying. It could be spending time in worship, listening to sermons, coming to church, talking with other believers who are like-minded and looking to help you grow and looking to grow themselves in God. Those are all ways we can prepare the soil. And it's interesting, there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And for the sake of time, we're not going to turn there, but I'll summarize some of it. Where there's a man named King Saul, and he was the first king of Israel. And he got word from a man named Samuel, who was a prophet of the day. And he said, in 7 days, I'm going to come to you, and let me back up a little bit. They were in conflict with a nation called the Philistines, the Philistine nation. And you might remember that from Goliath. Goliath was part of the Philistine nation that David defeated later. So they're going out to drop the battle lines. They drop the battle lines. They're getting ready. And Samuel sends word to King Saul and says, hey, I will be there in 7 days to offer sacrifices for the Lord's favor on your behalf, as was the custom of the day and everything. So King Saul gets that message, says, okay, great. The 7th day rolls around, and he's looking around, and there's a lot of men deserting the army for his side because they were intimidated by the size of the Philistine army. There were people hiding in caves and in holes in the ground and all these different places. And he's getting panicked at this point. He's like, where is Samuel? It's the 7th day. What's going on? And turns out, you know, it's about midday, and he grows weary in waiting for Samuel. So he says, hey, bring me the sacrifice, I'll do it myself. So they bring him the sacrifice, he offers the sacrifice, and just as he finishes it, there's still smoke coming off the offering. Samuel appears over the horizon, of course, right? And he goes to King Saul, and he says, because you refuse to listen to the voice of the Lord, your lineage won't be king over Israel anymore, because God needs somebody in charge that will listen to his voice. And I think of this, and that's what preparing the ground is all about, is learning to hear God's voice, listening to God's voice. And if we don't listen to God's voice and we don't prepare that soil, we can miss out on the great harvest that he has for us, the great life that he's planned for us if we just do it our own way, if we grow impatient in doing it. So preparing the soil, it's getting to know God, his truths, his voice, and his principles. Secondly is planting the seed, right? That's what we talked about, planting the seed. So how do we plant the seed? And very simply put, I believe it's applying the principles that we've learned. You know, to prepare the soil, we learn the principles, and then we apply it. So for instance, God's Word talks about forgiving those who have wronged us. You know, loving our enemies, doing that kind of stuff. It says, if you're, don't worry about the necessities of life, the needs of life, because if you put God's kingdom first, he'll take care of all of those, right? That we don't chase after it. He says, we heard a brief message about tithing, right? Putting him first in your finances, and then he'll take care of your finances and bless your finances. All of these different aspects that God promises, and planting the seed is making the decision to do what his word says to do, to follow his voice, to do what he said to do. And then we're planting that seed, and we can expect a harvest from that. One of my favorite verses recently has been Galatians 6:9. And it says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's the huge part of that, right? If we do not give up. I know in the process of waiting, I self-admittedly, I grow impatient, right? You know, I don't want to wait. I don't want to, you know, be stuck in the season of like, okay, God, yeah, whenever you want to do it, I want to make stuff happen. And there's seasons where God says, you got to wait and you got to let me do it. You know, keep doing your part, but let God do his part as well, right? Because there is a part we have to play, and that's what we're talking about, preparing the soil. That's up to you. God can't do that for you. You have to put in some of that work to do that. Planting the seed, you've got to choose to apply his principle. It's there for anybody to apply, but it's not active in your life until you choose to live by it, until you choose to apply it to your life. And then fertilizing or irrigating the soil. This one, to be 100% honest, is what comes the most natural to me. I love this one. And it's all about serving. It's all about waiting on God. I love in our culture how the word waiting on can be interpreted as like you're being served, right? So if you're being waited on when you go out to eat or something like that, a waiter or a waitress comes and waits on you. They serve you. They take care of your needs. They're there to bless you. And I feel like this is a way that we can fertilize the seed in our lives, is we find places to serve. Like we heard from Brenda with Love Inc. and the different opportunities even the church has or our neighbor might have or a family member or something. It doesn't all have to be within the church, but we find ways to serve people, to expand the kingdom of God. And that throws that fertilizer on the seed. It throws that water on the seed so that it can grow. And it's so important, you know, that we do this. There's a verse in Titus chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 8, and we're going to skip the middle portion and jump to 14. But I love how this says it. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And let our people also learn to maintain good works." This is 14 now. "To meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." I love how it throws that word unfruitful in there, that literally to see the fruit, to see the harvest, we're expected to do good works. And we know this from other passages in James, that faith without works is dead, that you know we show our faith by our works. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved by faith, but they work together. That if we truly believe what we say we believe, We'll serve the Lord with those. We'll give to God in those areas. So then, after this, and hopefully you can find some humor in this, the last point I have, and I'll throw it up on the screen, is, and then we wait. Right? So we do all these things, and then we wait. And our main verse talks about this, where it says, as a farmer waits for the harvest, waits for the spring rains and the autumn rains to come, all of these things. And you feel, and I know I've felt this at times, that we're stuck, just like at that traffic light, and Chloe wanting to go, right? She said, "Go, Dad, go." And it's like, no, we have to wait for our safety and so other people get a chance to go. And meanwhile, this is exactly what this is talking about, is this waiting, because the farmer has to give it time to grow. In our lives, often, we're in seasons of waiting. Seasons of not getting to the thing we want, not progressing as quickly as we want to, not growing as fast or jumping into that opportunity. And God's calling us to wait. And I believe when I was preparing this message that God put it on my heart that there's some individuals here that you're getting to the end of your rope with waiting. You feel like, you know, God has had his chance, he's taken far too long, and I'm ready to take these matters into my own hands. I'm ready to just do this, make something happen, because I'm so tired of how things are right now. And I can identify with that. I've been there. I know exactly, and this is what this message came from, is God speaking to me about that very thing. And meanwhile, he says, wait on me. Wait on me, as hard as it can be. When I dove into this scripture in James 5, verse 7, and if you guys could throw it back up on the screen there for us, I looked up the original meaning of some of these words. And when it first says be patient there at the very beginning, that word patient is exactly what you would imagine it would be. It's to endure, to persevere, basically to stay with it, to stick it out. And so that's what that means. But the word wait, where you jump down a little bit and it says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, that word wait is very interesting. And I wrote it down. That word means to expect, to receive, or to accept. And this one hit me, you know, right, because I needed to hear it, is what it was. And specifically, the part of it that means accept. To accept that, okay, I've done all I can do in this situation. I've done everything that I could do to accelerate the growth, to make it happen, and now I have to trust that God, who sees what I can't see, who knows what's going on behind the scenes, will bring the growth in the season that it's due to grow. But I got to give it time. I have to wait. I have to be patient. I have to stay with it, as this verse says, and as Galatians 6:9 says, is to not give up on doing good, right? For in due season, you will reap a harvest. Don't grow weary in doing it, because if you stick with it, you will reap a harvest. And there's some individuals here that this word is for you. You've been at it a long time. You feel, hey, I'm tired. I don't get this. Why is God taking so long? I said this at the early service too, that sometimes in my life, I've gone to God in prayer, and I don't hear anything, and I grow frustrated, and I heard somebody say to me once that, okay, if God's not saying yes and he's not saying no, then that means he's telling you to wait. And that's hard to hear, right? We don't want to hear that, but that's literally what it means. Because God wants to show you his will. And if he's not giving you a yes or a no to a question you have, that means he's telling you to wait currently, to wait on him, because he's got good things for you. We know this, and you'll hear me say this in just about every sermon I preach, that he's got a great plan for your life, and your life will be far better with him than it could ever be without him. And again, if you're here today, and maybe you're not walking with God, or you're watching online, and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, it's easy to do. It's super simple to initiate that. All you have to do, and I'm not going to ask for a response here or anything, but it says in Romans 10 that if you confess your sins and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and that God raised him from the dead, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart those two things, that you will be saved. That's all it is. You just call out to Jesus, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need help. I need help. I give you my life. And then you start applying these principles of preparing the soil of your heart, getting to know God's truths, getting to know his principles, sowing the seed, applying those principles to your life. Start living by those principles. Start getting closer to Jesus and walking with him along the way. And then fertilizing it by serving, by getting involved in different places that you can serve others and bless them. And then wait patiently when it comes. And God will bring an amazing result, an amazing product of fruit, of harvest, whatever metaphor you want to use there, that it's going to be incredible. Because he's got great things for you in your life. With that being said, I want to invite you to just stand to your feet right now. And I want to pray over you, but I want to invite you to just ask the Holy Spirit, because I believe he's here. He's everywhere we gather, right? He's with us. But just ask him, what are you saying to me today? Maybe he's pinpointing a certain point from this. Maybe he's talking to you about, hey, just hang in there. Just persevere. Just trust me that I see what you don't see ahead. I see the dangers that I'm protecting you from. I see the opportunities that I'm allowing other people to have right now. And I need you to just wait on me right now. Lord Jesus, just speak to your people here today. We ask that you would lead and guide us in the amazing things that you have for our lives. That you would help us to be patient, to wait in this go world that we find ourselves in, that we want to just rush around, we want to move on to the next thing, but to find those times to just be calm and wait on you and let you do your work. Lord, show us our part to play in each and every situation, that we would not be lazy in it, but we would be active in our waiting, that we would do our part, knowing and trusting that you are faithful to do your part, God. I thank you for each and every person here, and I ask that you bless them, give them an amazing rest of their day and an amazing week this week as well, as they apply these principles and see the fruit and the results that come by living this lifestyle. We thank you for it. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. If you want prayer for anything, we are here for you. We just ask that you wear your mask if you come up for prayer. And God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week.